Hello and welcome to the Home Assistant Podcast. My name's Phil. Joining me as usual, I've got Rohan. Hey, Rohan.
Hey, hey.
And today we're joined by Kurt. Hey, Kurt.
Hello, everybody.
Do you want to do the ad read?
I'll do the ad read.
Do the ad read. Come on.
This episode is sponsored by Home Assistant Cloud by Nabucasa. Easily access your local Home Assistant instance remotely for a small monthly fee that supports Home Assistant, ESP Home, and the Z-Wave JS projects. Configuration is done by the UI, so no fiddling with the router settings, SSL certificates, or any YAML. So just do it, guys. You know you want it.
That's it. That's perfect. It. Well,
love it.
The first, maybe we've got Paul to do it once, but yeah.
I think we had somebody else do it once too, I think. Yeah.
It's also, I would do it every time. It's just like a nice starter up for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
It right. Gets everything right. Smooth and
exactly. Break the ice a little bit, which we need to do anyway. So Kurt, welcome to the podcast. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Whereabouts in the world are you joining us from and how did you get here?
Well, I'm from Belgium. So how did I get here? I heard you guys do an awesome podcast about Home Assistant. And like everybody else, once you get into Home Assistant, you just get passionate about it. Just a start of something nice and big.
Yeah, I think it's like the community, right? Like I think as Paulus has mentioned, you know, the community of Home Assistant is really good. And it's good to like, you know, we can do a podcast about this. You can come on and, you know, take your time to talk to us about your Home Assistant instance. So, no, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. So how did you get started in home automation? Like I'm guessing like it was Home Assistant your first time starting with a smart home or had you started with something else?
Oh, man. No, it was... When I grew up, I was always fascinated about Star Trek, the opening doors, everything automated. Mm-hmm. And then, everybody has that call it a fancy, maybe, if you want to live in the future. And a bit further from here in Belgium, you have like the Living Tomorrow house where you could go into the house that's from the future. And basically, I'm living in it now. So that was always like, I want that. That's amazing. My fridge that says what's in it. You can order things online and just let it be sent. Everything is automated. So I wanted that. And when I bought my house, I was like, I have to renovate this thing. It's an old house. So let's go. I'm going to go all in with, home automation. So first I started off with my search started with Unipi. That's like a bit of a controller that you have, more PLC. It's nice, but it's not what you expect from it. It's not that open source as Home Assistant. Then an old teacher of mine recommended Luxon.
Okay.
Back when I started off with it, it was more do-it-yourself. But, after a year that I bought it and was fiddling around with it, it started to close up. It started partnering up with, we do only do installations via partners, not more do-it-yourself.
Right.
There was also no third-party or almost non-third-party applications that you could connect. So it was really becoming the Apple of smart homes, to say it like that. Like
they wanted their walled garden and closed in ecosystem.
Yeah. Exactly. So that kind of made me, regret it a bit that I went that route.
And how far down the rabbit hole had you gone at that point? Like
pretty far. Everything was Luxon. I mean, I have the Don't get me wrong. The products that they have, they're great. I mean, I have every switch that I have in my house is Luxon. It has a humidity sensor in it. It has a temperature sensor in it. So every room is already, monitored that-wise, with temperature and humidity. Then I also have the LED drivers that do all the LED strips. You can see the guys who are on YouTube. That does everything already. what I have, the shutters, I installed shutters on my windows that also has an actuator in it. So it's already doing most of the things. And then when I discovered Home Assistant, I was like, ooh, look at that. That's nice. And all those sensors that I wanted that weren't available, like Windows sensors and everything running through Zigbee, that was possible via Home Assistant. And then I discovered Hacks. Oh God, what a world. That everything opens up. Somebody already created an integration for Luxon. And all of a sudden, well, wait. Big shout out to Joachim who made that. Some German guy. He does an excellent job. Response in on GitHub, his repository. Amazing guy. Anyways, good job. Keep it up. I need you. and that integrated everything into Home Assistant. All of a sudden, I could see all my entities being integrated from Luxon. And at that point, I left their config and moved everything to Home Assistant. So right now, everything is controlled by Home Assistant in my house.
Nice.
From heating. The heating, also the how do you call it, the water collector that has those little valves that that's being monitored by Luxon sensors, but then sent through the mini server to Home Assistant. If one room gets a bit low or high, it corrects itself.
Right, and Home Assistant is deciding to do that.
Yes. At any point, I'm still having to do the air conditioning so that the cooling is also here, but that's one of those things that I want in the future. Right now, heating is my priority, let's say it like that.
Sure.
And that way I started building up more automations, because with the third party and Luxon being all in Home Assistant, I could do things like check if the window is open, don't heat if the window is open, stuff like that in my bathroom. If the ventilation, if the humidity is high and the window's open, don't do anything. Don't put the fan on. Just work with what you have with the window open. So that that Zigbee connection, finicky as it is at times, makes things work.
Interesting. So do you keep, like are you going to continue buying Luxon products and things like that? Or now are you just kind of...
No.
Putting things beside it and then just letting Home Assistant and if something dies, then you replace it with a generic.
Yeah, exactly. Like the LED drivers. The H801, you know, there's a LED driver that does the same thing.
Yeah.
You put the Smoda on it and it works just the same. I have one, if I could reach right now, I can show you one connect to a LED strip where I'm already, testing it out and seeing what I can do, because I want to build it into a cabinet. That works. I mean, then I don't need to buy something that's like three times more expensive. While this H801 costs like $10. I mean, that's just crazy. Like I said, if I knew it before, I probably wouldn't even have gone the Luxon route because I could have done so much more with it. But lessons learned, I guess. It's like I said, it's a good product, but it's overpriced and walled off a bit. So that's not really working in their advantage right now.
And is Luxon cloud-based or is it local control from your...
It's local. It's local. You have a mini server, but you can do the same what Nabucasa does, like have their DNS, so you can just go put a port for it in your router and then you can connect it from the outside. But right now I could just put up a WireGuard server on my Unify machine and does this thing too. So I don't do it anymore because I just want, the more I became proficient with Home Assistant, the more I was thinking about security. Because I also put down some locks, smart locks. So that's also run by Home Assistant. You have the app by them, well, from Locked itself, works perfectly. But if you have Home Assistant and it integrates perfectly, why not use Home Assistant? Again, it's you always come back to it. Once you dip your toe into Home Assistant, you always think, but every purchase, can I put that in Home Assistant?
Yeah,
if it's possible, I'm going to buy it. It's one of those top, well, conditions right now. And it's amazing how you can tell by the entire community, everybody does that. Like, how much is Home Assistant?
Yeah.
Well, how can I integrate this into Home Assistant? And once the bigger manufacturers are aware of that, I think that we'll see so much more improvement in our little community. There's just going to be stacking up.
Yeah.
Well, that's my vision on it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can certainly see, like, Nabucasa's aware of that too, right? They've got the little Works with Home Assistant badges. They're certainly trying to get, you know, certifications now. We've just had, you know, Z-Wave Alliance locked in. Home Assistant is now an official partner. You know, like, I can't wait to walk into a local hardware store and see the Home Assistant logo on products in packaging physically, right? Yeah. I really look forward to that day.
Right, I think it's coming right next to the Google Assistant and everything else.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to happen. Works with smart things, all those things, right? Like, it's that'd be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of time. Really is. I mean, when I saw you, Paulus, on your guys, well, on the episode with Paulus, like two episodes ago or something, you could tell he's going to those fairs and everything and then really congresses and really talking to all the manufacturers. It's going to happen as long as he doesn't sell out.
Well, that's kind of the nice thing about the structure of how it's built, right? Even if he wanted to, which it's to be clear, we've had no indication of him.
I'm just joking, kind of.
But even if he wanted to, it's very difficult to do that, right? It really is very community driven and it's very reliant on the community. So it's going to be extremely difficult to do that. But the nice thing is, like you said, Kurt, we're seeing like folks like you and me that are like, hey, you know, I want to make sure that this works with Home Assistant, and that's actually driving a lot of our purchasing decisions, right? So,
it's really quite something, to be honest. And the only thing that's holding it back a bit is the way to get, for example, my parents on board, not tech savvy people who want to do things like monitor their energy. Get small automations that just make life easier.
Yeah.
And once we have the implementation, making it the implementation for them easier, then the world is our oyster, to say it like that. The sky is the limit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even with things like the Home Assistant yellow and green and such, right? Like, it's, I think that's a big pivotal step because you don't have to sit there and figure out how to install it on a Raspberry Pi or like take out this SD card, put it in here, whatever, like all of those steps, right? Which, you know, I personally, me as someone who's in technology, I don't want to do that, let alone someone who doesn't know how to, right? So
it's what, why am I looking at a black screen? What do I do here? Idea. I mean, the first time you do that, that's one of the most amazing feelings that you can have, like, look at what I did.
Sure.
But yeah, if you have to do it three more times and it's not working.
It gets frustrating.
Then you just down frustration lane and
And to be fair, I don't think, you know, like SmartThings, the Amazon Echo or Google Home have solved any of those challenges of getting, you know, other people involved, right? Like non-technical people. I can guarantee you people are looking down the aisles of those hardware stores, seeing those logos and going, I don't know what that means. That's the Google thing. Right, I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also like it's easy to get started with automations on there, but it's also like, again, prime example, before my parents went on vacation a couple of months ago, my dad, I guess, somehow set an automation to turn on lights with Google Home. And he was like, I don't want to do this when I'm gone. How do I stop this? Right. And yeah, then, yeah. And so we had to, he thought it was on Google Home. Turns out it was on Amazon Echo. Cause he has both. Cause he won one at some, something or the other. And somebody
and they just be like, given away one. For nothing. Right.
Like, yeah. Right. So it's, you have all of these things and it just gets really messy. So
you could have told him, hey, it's great burglar prevention. You look like you're home. So
that's well, that's what I told him. And yeah. He was like, no, I don't want to waste energy. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair. That, I get yeah, it.
That,
right?
That one bulb is going to really drain the.
Yeah. So, Kurt, let's talk about some of the things you're doing. So I know you've talked about you have how you're integrating some of the pieces, but what are some of like how do you drive some of your automations? Like, do you use tablets? Do you use voice? Do you use all of those things?
Voice I don't use yet. I had I followed the tutorial of Lewis. He made like one of those little speakers. I love to solder things and see what I can do and. Well, make things easier, better for me. I'm a fiddler.
Yeah.
So I tried that, didn't get it to work yet. So I kind of, this is for another time. I'm going to do that in another time when I have more time for to really focus on that. Because voice to me, we're Dutch speaking, so... Would it be in English? How can I make this work for my family? So it's more like nice to have, not I should have that.
Yeah. So the nice thing is there's a lot of work happening on that front, right?
I know.
Empower languages like Dutch and all the other languages too.
Yeah, I know. I'm following it somewhat, but it's one of those things. Let it mature a bit and then I'm going to dive into it. And probably it's going to be one of those I figured it out. Now everything in my house is possible by voice. And then I'm going to have to make sure that my wife is happy about it because all of a sudden she says something and something happens. And, you know, how that goes. the wife approval rate is very important in everything, you know?
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. But more, everything is... In my house is more I try to make everything automated, if I'm not at home, the brightness outside, make sure that the shutters go down when it's dark, well, dark enough to make the lights in my house that it's dark enough in my house and the lights need to be on if somebody's home, then I make sure, well, I have everywhere when I was renovating, I put every motion detectors like the old pairs sensors.
Oh, yeah.
I just put those up. They do the job of detecting if someone is home. Combine it with the phone being connected to the Wi-Fi network, and all of a sudden you have pretty good way to monitor if somebody is home. That's one of the ways that I work, like environmental, and then checking if someone's home. I also made it that way that once somebody touched a switch in house, then also someone is detected and everything starts. Like the alarm goes off, turns off once you open the door because I have a smart lock. So somebody unlocks that, then... House becomes awake. It's sleep mode awake, and that at that point it's just a combination of people moving around plus also touching the switches. I my wife wasn't a really big fan of having everything automated. She wanted to have that physical control of the switch, but she doesn't use it that much, so it's. It's still automated, but more in a way that she didn't notice it. And that's the best way to be, I think that's the best way to work. Make sure that people don't realize that the house is working for them or is interacting with them. That way you can get more things done. For the kids' their room, for example, I just have the pig, but that's finicky. Well, it's a big room. They have big rooms. It's an old house, big rooms. So, and they're also laying in bed watching their phone or sitting at a desk. So it's not really moving. So I opted for checking if the light's on in their room. So if their lights are on, check if the temperature is correct. And that works pretty well. It's more like understanding the people that are living in the house. And that's something that's also time intensive. Understanding who you live with and understanding what their habits are. And that's one thing that I would like to see Home Assistant do a bit better, helping you understand how people live in your house, if that's even possible. It's more like an artificial intelligence, maybe even.
Yeah.
But like detecting the way your family members in-house live and make the house work well. Understand how that you can automate or maybe even give suggestions. I wouldn't know where to start at this point, but it's one of those nice things that could work. I can see that a lot of people liking that feature.
Yeah, well, I think we just had a YouTube comment from Wagner saying, you know, very similar, right? Like, it would be cool because Paul's talking about, you know, where Nebuchadnezzar wants to go with AI and all that. And, you know, he was saying, like, it would be cool to have AI monitor, you know, what light switches are going on, what's going off, how the home is actually being used, and then, you know, recommending automations based on that. And I think it would be cool to see, you know, take it to another level in the house. You know, if Home Assistant knows, you know, my daughter's home, my son's home, I'm home, and being able to somehow differentiate who's doing what in the house, which is potentially possible, right? Like, you know, once, you know, one of those variables leaves and the house acts in a different way, to be then able to, you know, change the house to suit, you know, who's home, right? Like, I think, you know, we've always talked about, you know, perhaps, you know, a spouse, you know, prefers the thermostat at a different level when they're home. And, you know, I think a lot of people in home doesn't do that automation, right? Like, depending on who's home, what the thermostat is set to, you know, having, you know, AI be able to do that, but also at a much granular level, you know, maybe to a room, you know, if your child is home, you know, then the lights in that room can be turned on. But if they're not home, you know, maybe that room just goes dark and saves energy, for example. And I think, you know, there is the potential in the future for AI to be able to just watch the house and, you know, automate most of it for us.
Yeah, it's something where along lines of, to me, it's just like machine learning kind of piece, right? Where it kind of realizes, okay, there's all of these different patterns that's here, right? We're seeing like, okay, you know, a person, we detected a human outside. Great. Let humans now detect the doorbell. Okay, so there's probably somebody coming. Based on this, we can do X, Y, Z. And then, you know, hey, every time I turn on this light, my TV ends up turning on too. So maybe based on that, it was between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., whatever that is, right? Like, where it starts to build that and it starts to even suggest automations or even just automate based on that, right?
That would be great. I mean, that way we can really move to what we always, well, what I always envisioned with automation, home automation.
Yeah.
It's recognizing what your habits are. I mean, if my house knows that I wake up every morning at 7 a.m., turn on the coffee machine.
Yeah.
And that's already possible, but it would be nice if it suggested to you.
But exactly.
We're a bit off still for that, but it's a nice to have a vision for the future.
Yeah, I hear that. So, I mean, speaking of some of the automations and stuff, what are a couple of your favorite ones?
Oh, my favorite. It's always, I have many small automations. For example, I have a water softener, and because it's high density water, whatever you call it. And I just modified the lid that I can measure the amount of salt I still have in the water softener. I put that again. One of those laser sensors that measures the distance.
Oh, nice!
I drilled a hole in the lid.
And
just ESP home on a ESP 32, and just connected up. Well, made a board, a little project, and Now it measures how much I have in still in the salt. Well, how much salt I still have in water softener. That's a pretty useful little automation that I made. One of the little things I also did was my kitchen exhaust. I have, like I said, an old house. My exhaust fan is like 4 years old, probably. It's still an old kitchen.
Yeah.
And the wiring, well, the buttons were broken. So I bought one of those, what's it, light circuit, but an ESP on it. And like it has four little relay switches on it. So right now I can just control the fan from Home Assistant. I put on a DHT11 and now it measures how much moisture is underneath the hood. And once somebody starts cooking or the heat is turned up, that thing starts whirling. It's one of those things. Look at what you did there.
Yeah.
It's this old thing that you just need to replace. And now I made it smarter than like 90% of what's on the market right now. So that's one of those things that you, well, if you like tweaking around a bit, so with those things, yeah, you can, the sky is the limit. And
yeah.
I just love that being able to do that, those things. One more thing that I mentioned before the show was in my chicken coop, I want to put a camera on where the laying beds and detect if there's eggs, so I don't need to walk down my garden and see if there's something or not. I mean, there are machine learning. There are models already. It should be easy enough, but I just need to find the time to get around to it. And
have you got power up to the chicken coop?
I just need. I also have like one of those older end of life dishes from Unify, which is perfect for that kind of. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Wi-Fi 4, but for like an ESP cam Wi-Fi connection, that's still good enough.
Plenty.
So I might use it there. Just put a cable down there and just make it work. I mean, should be able to do that. So then I have power. I have the camera feed.
I was going to say, could you even do something like a weight sensor? Like if you know kind of the approximate weights of all your chickens, and then you say, okay, one of them lays an egg. Now my weight's gone up, kind of thing.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I'm going to take that along.
Again, I don't know how it would work, but it would also require you to know the weights of each individual chicken. And I don't know how many you have or what.
Yeah.
Also depends on the hay and, you know, if the hay wet. Like.
Yeah, exactly. If they're a bit wet, I think that would be.
Yeah, maybe there's too many variables.
Yeah. One of those things that I also did was like I have a door sensor. A water detector. Like
a flood sensor.
Yeah. I put one of those car seat sensors on it and put it on the bed. So if you lay in bed, you also have a bed detection right now, so that's also one of those things, but it's not reliable enough to use as an automation. My wife works night shifts, so it would be nice to have something like that, because I want to do is if she's laying in bed, it's during the day, I want to turn off the doorbell, for example. No doorbells, no noise, the shutters down, things like that. Even temperature in the room, monitor that. And that should all be possible, but it's a bit too finicky right now. So I need to find a better solution for that. I know that there are one of those bands that you can lay in bed. What's it called again?
Oh, like a Fitbit smart, like, you know, there's Fitbit. There's a few sleep trackers as well. Yeah. MyThings have got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of
rings too.
I'm thinking of maybe buying one of those, but I just want to be sure that it works. And because if you disrupt somebody's sleep during the day and they're a light sleeper, then the day dream is over. I mean,
I know there's a lot of folks that work with force sensitive resistors, right? Like the little strip, and then you I think I saw this on Mark Watt's channel, where he basically took an old reed sensor, like an old like a door sensor or something like that. Basically, instead of dealing with the door sensor part of it, he just cut those pieces off and he soldered on the force sensitive resistor. So basically, now that gives you like a Zigbee base or a Bluetooth base or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a bit what I did too.
So you kind of get that there too.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that it works properly before I implement it on somebody night sleep or day sleep.
Yeah, so, I've seen a lot of folks that where it does, where you can basically like based on their weight, so you get them to lie on their side of the bed and then whatever. And if you do the sides of bed thing, which most people I know do, but you get them and then you basically say, okay, this is my partner's weight, this is my weight, whatever. Or it's not really the weight, right? It's the resistance. This is the resistance I'm getting. This is the resistance my partner's getting, whatever it is. And based on that, you can say like Kurt in bed, Kurt out of bed, or, you know, partner in bed, partner out of bed, that kind of thing.
Would be a nice solution if it's stable. That's to me. And
yeah,
I try to make things stable because enough. Well, yeah, you guys 100%. Know enough of those automations are. Why has that happened just now? And then you need to debug, and all of a sudden you're on your PC for like 2 hours looking for that one little signal that you missed. And
not even. Like, I woke up yesterday, actually, to all my Z-Wave devices being offline. So the house just wasn't, like, I'd walk into a room and motion sensors weren't working. All the lights wouldn't turn on because they're all, you know, behind Z-Wave dimmers. And it turns out that for whatever reason, I have my Z-Wave JS instance on another computer in another room, and it was on. So I was like, oh, it's just frozen, whatever. I tried to SSH into it, connection refused. I'm like, whatever, I'll just reset it. And it didn't come back. I'm like, okay. I then had looked, and the static IP address that had been assigned sometime between midnight and 6 a.m. decided to get assigned to something else, and it couldn't get its IP address. And then, of course, something else got the IP address. So it's not even like home assistant, right?
It's always the stupidest things. Always the stupidest things.
Like, nothing I did broke. It was just this static reservation in my router that decided to go, nah, we're not doing that today. You're going to wake up to a dumb house. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird how that even happens.
Yeah, right?
And what kind of router do you have?
It's an ASUS router.
I have Unify, so right now it works. It's quite stable, to be honest, so I'm happy with that.
I just don't like the price of Unify. Bit expensive.
There's something to say for that. I mean, look at me. I'm also looking at ways to make things happen as cheap as possible. I mean, we have the ability to like tweak technology to our will. So if I look at all the cameras that I have laying around, it's also like Chinese crap to say it like that. But you make it work. I mean, you make sure that it doesn't have the ability to call home. Block it off from the internet. You put it in some kind of camera system. Well, NVR. Like, I have Blue Iris right now, and that works as well. So it doesn't need to be expensive because we have the ability to make all the programmings ourselves with Home Assistant.
Yeah,
that's
the
power, and it remains the power that we. And we're not locked into one system, or can look around, do our own thing, especially with the community that we have. We, most of the time, if you have an idea, somebody else has done it, and
that's right.
Probably even better than you could have done it before. Well, do it now.
Yeah.
So, and as long as we can keep this community going like this, Home Assistant logo on all the packaging is coming closer and closer to us.
That's it.
We'll be right back right after this.
We want to give our thanks this episode to Factor. If you haven't heard of them, Factor makes ready-to-go meals that are fresh, not frozen. Their meals are chef-crafted and dietitian-approved. Best of all, they're ready to go in 2 minutes. That really helped because my last couple of weeks have been really hectic and we've been eating out a lot, which started to add up. Doing the math, Factor was less expensive and way healthier than eating out. Every week, you get over 35 options to pick from, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and Vegan choices, and more than 60 add-ons to keep you going all day long. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. If you want to try it yourself, head to factormeals.com/homeassistant50 and use code homeassistant50 to get 50% off. That's code homeassistant50 at factormeals.com/homeassistant50. You get 50% off.
Imagine your smart home as a high-tech fortress, complete with cameras, thermostats, and voice-activated assistants. But just like any fortress, it needs protection. Going online without ExpressVPN is like leaving your castle's gates wide open. Most days, everything might seem fine, but it only takes one breach for your peace of mind to crumble. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, in cafes, hotels, airports, you are unprotected. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, including passwords and financial information. With cheap hardware tools available today, it doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so that the 12-year-old with the Raspberry Pi can't steal your sensitive data. ExpressVPN is super secure, using the latest encryption technology to protect you online. ExpressVPN is easy to use, install the app and connect to a nearby server, and you'll be quickly protected. It works on all devices, phones, laptops, tablets. There's even a Docker container for it. I love how easy and versatile ExpressVPN is. I actually just signed up myself for ExpressVPN before they reached out to us, and I have been very happy with their service. With the number of platforms it supports, it's easy to route traffic through the VPN when I need to securely access my local home network, and I'm not confident with the free Wi-Fi I'm using. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/homeassistant. That's expressvpn.com/homeassistant. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/homeassistant.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about the Eufy Video Lock. It's a smart lock that's really easy to set up with just a Phillips screwdriver and no extra drilling. It's got a keyless entry, so you don't need to worry about fumbling with the keys when your hands are full. Also, you don't need to worry about handing out extra keys when you're in a pinch, your kids losing them, or people copying the key and passing it around to each other. Something else I like about the Eufy Video Lock is that it has a camera built in and it works as a doorbell as well. Personally, I think the Eufy Video Lock is great for apartments or cottages where you can't necessarily add extra holes for a video doorbell. My favorite part about it, though, is that there isn't a monthly fee and your recordings are locally stored, so you don't have to worry about someone else owning your doorbell data. You can find it on Amazon, or if you want to know more, search Eufy Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
One of those things that I also am thinking of is one of those cleaning robots that you guys have. I was listening in how great you are finding it, and I was like, I want it. And I find that expensive, like one of those moppers.
They are.
And I'm not sure if it will work because I have three kids, one 4 year old, two teens, and they love letting things lay around their toys and everything. I need some kind of sensor array. What is it later built in so that it can avoid everything? Because otherwise,
So these robots, the vacuum cleaners, are pretty good at that. I have a 12-month-old and a 3-year-old, so I still go around picking up all the, you know, toys, the blocks, the Legos that's been thrown around the house. But they do have like pretty good AI detection, like detects you know, shoes, cloths. It'll actually show you a photo. Oh, I avoided this because it looks like a, you know, a t-shirt that's been left on the ground or something, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm really impressed with it. But I still will find, you know, things that it has sucked up, you know, hair ties always getting sucked up. I've actually got an alert in Home Assistant now to say that there is a blockage in my in the duct because something's gone up that shouldn't have gone up. So I have to go and take that apart and see what it's sucked up. I found paddle pop sticks in there. I don't know if you know what they are. But
I have
yeah,
no idea what a paddle pop is.
Yeah, like the little wooden stick you get in an ice cream, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like random things like have been sucked up by this robot and then it's clogged in because I can't go around the tube. So, yeah. But for the most part, right, like the mopping is fantastic and the vacuuming is awesome. So,
do you have some kind of wall of shame for of what's being sucked up? Look at what you lay around.
Kids aren't old enough to shame them yet, so no, not yet.
Oh, yeah. Just a few more years.
Look at what you did. Now you can go unclog the vacuum cleaner. Off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you owe me $100 for this thing that you broke.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the even like the latest model, I don't want to be a spruik, you know, this isn't an ad for a Roborock or anything, but I did see like a promo video for the S8 and it's got, you know, the little thing that comes out and it, you know, rises up its mop even higher. Like they are very advanced now.
I'm gonna be the spook Roborock if you wanna send me something. Contact these guys.
That's just a generic statement. If you want to send anybody anything, let us know.
I love to demo.
That's it.
I mean, I've got an Ecovacs. It's now old. It's the X1 Omni. But same thing. I've had pretty good luck with it. Granted, I don't have that much stuff. I tend to pick up a lot of things. It's just who I am. But sometimes we end up leaving like, you know, laundry will finish later than we thought it would. So we take it, dump it on the floor, and then we'd be like, hey, we'll deal with this tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes around, I've got a meeting and it's running around doing like the vacuum is doing its thing. But so far I've had pretty good luck with mine too. It's just kind of like what Phil said too. So, but it's cool. Mine doesn't like send me a picture being like, hey, I avoided this. So that's kind of neat that it does that.
Yeah. I kind of love that feature, to be honest, just the idea of, look at how messy you are. I would find that funny. Oh, look at that. Yeah, I was going to pick that up. I forgot.
Not even I am going to touch that.
Next time I'm going to ruin this shirt of yours or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, your favorite shirt. You wouldn't want that being destroyed by me.
That's right. That's right.
It all depends on the color, right? Like I had mine yesterday run over a white cable against a very light colored carpet, right? And then I just got a message saying the robot's trapped. I'm going to go in. It's, you know, chewed up this cable and it's got it stuck around its brushes. I'm like, okay. Like you couldn't avoid you avoid cables everywhere else, but not here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, you know, colors and it is just
black
a
cable for there.
Yeah.
Next cable there is going to be a black one. There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
Quick fix.
You mentioned before presence. What are you using for presence detection in the house? Like, do you have home away sensors, or is it more the house just knows what mode it is in?
It knows what mode it is in. Granted, I take because I have cameras outside. Mm-hmm. I detect if there's a car parked there. But if the doors are locked with my locked smart locks, I can also have a detection of the door is locked. So there are a few ways that the house detects from somebody's probably not home. For example, the car is gone, the doors are locked, and there's no detection in the house with the beer sensors. So there's nobody home, and then it turns on the alarm. Everything that comes along with it. So right now that I have little issues with that, to be honest. It's there's so many variables that and I have three kids and a wife, and my wife works nights, like I said. So there's almost always someone home at one point. Yeah. Or I'm working from home, so there's maybe not enough testing, to be honest, but it works great. Maybe yeah. It's just because there's almost always someone home that doesn't have I didn't have any error handling yet or bug.
And have you used like things like Bayesian sensors or anything, or is it just purely this is the state? That's it.
This is the state. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
That's one of those things that I want to try, though. This I find it interesting, but like I said, right now it works, so I'm not going to change it
exactly.
While it works. So
yeah,
I can find. Well, I can think of a few use cases for it. Honestly, I mean, I always will find some way to use it, even if it's the bathroom. To be honest, I mean, sitting still and everything. So. Yep. But right now it works, so I'm not going to change. It's more of a way that don't change a winning team at this point. So
mm-hmm.
Right. once it's matured a bit more, even then, who knows what's possible. That's the nice thing of it. If you have something working, you don't necessarily change it up.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Where do you write your automations? I know some people love Node-RED. Some people love YAML. Some people have even started using just purely the UI builder now. When you go to automate something, what is your go-to tool?
For my solar panels and the battery, I have Node-RED. I'm using Node-RED because I have no way to read the API and send it to the energy dashboard otherwise.
Okay.
So right now I read the JSON and divide it up everywhere to the right entities. And that's the only way that I use Node-RED right now. And all my other automations are done through the UI, which has immensely improved since their new iteration that they just did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
copy-pasting, drag-dropping now. It's
getting there. I was really impressed with the latest that they did there. I wasn't aware that change was coming, but once I was there, I was like, oh, look at this.
Right.
Yep.
it was a bit getting used to, because if you're used to the clunkiness and you know what to do, then you can make it work. But now it's so easy to use. A child could program some. And that's why I'm not using Node-RED that much. I used it more also for things like in my mailbox, I have like a door sensor. And once there's mail in there, get a notification through, what was it, pushover? And I changed that also to the Home Assistant notification, because I finally got everybody in the house on it. Put the Home Assistant app on their phone. And so why use something else?
Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, pushover was really responsive, but if I was relying on it too much, who knows when they shut down their service? It's a possibility to look at lately what we're seeing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to take that risk. So Home Assistant app it is. And well, it makes everything so much nicer. I mean, all the big things like my workplaces, and wife works place, kids school, everything's put in zones, so everything's nicely wrapped up like that. So that's one of the ways that I also do my automations is if somebody's in that zone, I know if they're leaving at that time, they're probably going to be home at that, like in a half an hour, just saying something. And then turn on the heat if nobody's home, which,
nice,
again, is not always the case. Somebody's always home, but it's built in. It should work. And one of the things that I'm also looking at, I didn't mention it yet, but I work for an elementary school. I'm like the ICT there. I also work for many, in many different locations, so I have to switch up a bit. I also want to register which trips I make from one school to the other, because like deductions from travel time and everything. So yeah. I want to automate that too. And I'm looking in a way to do that with Home Assistant as well, because I have everything in a zone. So I should be able to detect from if I'm moving from that zone to that zone, that's that distance, I can put that into a database and make, at the end of the month, turn it in and, hey, give me that much money because I traveled that much distance. That's one of the ways, one of those things that I want to implement too, but not sure how to do it yet. Because I like to keep everything in Home Assistant, but I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do, because I want to put it in a MariaDB or something and just make it work like that. That's one of those things that is in the back of my mind. I want to do that. That's one of those projects that is in the air and all really enticing enough, but no time right now. So what do? I just put in an Excel sheet right now.
Fair.
Yeah. Works. That's one of those things that I'm also thinking about implementing Home Assistant into the school system. I'm not working that, I'm just there for 2 years now and switched fields 2 years ago. And they already did, but because of COVID, there were a lot more regulations like constant air monitoring in the classrooms.
Yep.
If I was there, would have been there, Home Assistant would have done all that. But right now, nope. That's already done by an outside service through the cloud, and they're paying for it. And it hurts my Home Assistant heart so much to see that bill come in. So... yeah, that's one of those things that I was surprised to see as well. All of a sudden, from the government, there were courses about Home Assistant. Like from our government, how to implement Home Assistant into your school and monitor the air. Those things are coming as well. So I was like, I could have done that course. I could have given that lesson. That's amazing. I'm doing, I sound like a very busy man. I'm a busy man, but one day a week I'm doing a bachelor course. I'm going for my bachelor degree. And there was an IoT course as well. And Home Assistant was mentioned, but not used. And I implemented it in my project because we had to do a weather, ESP 32 weather station. You had to build that and document it and everything. You know how those courses go. And all of a sudden I was like, I could make a web page or this web server on the ESP, but I'm going to put it in Assistant and get extra credits because I'm working through MQTT and everything. And like that, and here's a dashboard, and everybody was very impressed, and I was like, hey, that works as well. And all of a sudden I'm introducing like Home Assistant to 30 other students, and people heard of it, but they weren't aware how easy it is to those things happen there, because all the teachers are just using cloud services. I don't even know which one it was. I think it was even Smart Things. I don't know. It was an external MQTT server. And I was like, but everything is built in this and it's so easy. So who knows what seed I planted there. I hope I did one. I did, because I love being somebody who says, look at that amazing thing that somebody's making. Look at that community and join us. Everybody join us. Come on. The more the merrier.
The more the merrier. That's it.
That's it.
It's and pro tip, if you want more marks in school, use Home Assistant.
That's it.
Exactly. It works. Yeah.
Have you had any feature requests from your kids or family, like that you've had, I want this automation, or can the house do this, that you had to add in?
Always. There's the thing is that they love that Home Assistant is in our house, but they hate that I can see if they're still awake. I can say, hey, why are you still awake at like 12 on a school night? going to bed and stuff like that. So, but they always ask things like if they're leaving in the morning, that, for example, that they don't have to turn off the light in the morning in their bedroom. They always are like little zombies when waking up and just going downstairs, and I just turn off the light for them and stuff like that, and make sure that their shutters are staying closed once while they're still sleeping in the weekends. Things like that, small things that they really have more comfort as well. I'm looking always for them. It's more like a convenience / comfort thing. To me, it's more like a functional thing. I think that's the adult way of home assistant. Not having something like, ooh, I can just use an app to turn on the light or turn off the light. No, it's much more that it's monitoring how your house is doing. How is its health? How much humidity is in the bathroom? And make sure that the exhaust is working as long as it's under above a certain percentage. It's so much more than just being lazy in on the couch and turning off the light because you're watching TV. Ideally, the house would do that before you if you sit down on the couch and turn on the TV. But that's just making sure that your automations are on point. And then, as long as we keep on improving like that, things are looking bright.
That's it.
Now, you mentioned before you don't have voice. How do you override or drive Home Assistant in general? Like, are you using tablets or anything around the house?
I have one tablet on the wall, but it's barely being used, to be honest. And that's, in my opinion, good. That means I'm doing something good. I mean, that's the switches are, like, the Luxon switches are still being used, but not that much. The where they're still being used really often is where I don't have the PIF sensors yet. Because for the detection in my old kitchen, there's still no detection there, and the switch is the way to turn on the light. So it's still a work in progress, and you can see the switch being used there. But if it was automatically detected, nobody would use the switches almost.
I bet. Yeah. So
It's a work in progress, like I said, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, my house can be a totally different house tomorrow if I feel like I need to change something. The only thing I wish that Home Assistant would do a bit better is their dashboards. It's really hard to make it nice, and if you don't use Mushroom, for example, then it's clunky. For granted, the tile card has improved a lot. That made things a lot better. But I wish they would use that, the environment or the room card? There's one card that's also like room. They would improve on that, or at least give that thing some love.
The picture, there's a picture entity one too, I think, and it gives you a picture with all the icons. Is that the one you mean?
No. There's one where it's just blue. And for example, it's bathroom and you see humidity on the left bottom and lights and the sensors, but you cannot, really edit that or modify it. It's more the way you've programmed is the right word, your entity or how you set up your entities. And it's not always working correctly. While it should work, it's still not working the way it should. That's a shame. Because otherwise I would just use those cards. And right now I have tile cards with horizontal and vertical stacks and building my own little thing there that you can see with the mushroom, badge that you can tap on it, and you have the shutter control, and everything is really nicely made. But I also realize that if something changes in Home Assistant, all of a sudden that can be juggled up, and it's I don't like having to update and then see everything maybe go a bit spaghetti-o. So
yep, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, so, there's a new, what's it called? Sections? UI.
Yeah,
as well.
The new layout style.
Yeah, oh. I think it's called Sections. Yeah, and which is, again, it gives you that drag and drop. It gives you all of that. But again, it's not meant for a full dashboard replacement, right? So that came with the Grace update for
That's the latest. I didn't check that out yet. Yeah, you guys mentioned it in the last episode.
Yeah. It's still not perfect. It's still not kind of what you're asking for, right? But yeah.
If I could have my wish, I would kind of want to have it in some kind of CSS or maybe even some JavaScript and maybe build it up like that and just style it the way I want. But that's again not a solution for somebody who doesn't know how to program that. So it doesn't make it user friendly. So I understand that they don't do that. So, or well, the developers don't do that. It needs to be easy for everyone.
That's it, right? Well, and, I know there is the, what's that custom card? The card editor where you can put in CSS and do that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. The custom card. I know which one. Yeah. But Home Assistant, how do you call it? Structure is really weird. And so it's not like if you want to use regular CSS, it's a weird way to implement it. So I have it done right now. I'm using it right now, but it's so rudimentary. It's so low level that I wouldn't dare to touch it that much. Let's say
Sure.
And particularly, the next update comes out and then all that CSS work that you just did has to be updated and maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I had to do it last time now, like two updates ago. So it was all of a sudden, why are my buttons wrong and what happened?
Yep.
And I didn't know. And I don't like that. I don't like surprises in that fashion because it's, Home Assistant is so beautiful, but once you realize that so much depends on it, once I start thinking about it, if my Docker container fails, ooh, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. I need to implement more backups and everything. That's the back of my head. I still didn't do it, but I'm starting to realize I need to have a fail safe because right now I don't have any. So that's a scary thought. And that's one of those things that I need to think about, and that's also something that might stop us from being really mainstream is, if you don't have power, then your lights are not working. If you have power and all of a sudden your little Raspberry Pi breaks, you don't have anything, you don't have lights, you don't have heating, you don't have, anything. My locks wouldn't open, to say it like that. It's not nothing. Let's say it like that.
So I think that when designing a smart home, right, you always have to think, what's the point of failure and how can we avoid that? What's the fail safe, right? Like for a long time, when I put my smart lock on the front door, like we bought the new house, I was like, one of the first things I did was change the locks to a smart lock. I'm like, that's it. We're going codes, but it doesn't have a key. And we didn't have any keys to the house. And I knew if that thing runs out of batteries, or for whatever reason it resets, we can't get into the house. We're going to call a locksmith out. So for a while I had just a 9-volt battery in a box next to the door so that it could power the smart lock. That was a failsafe, right? So that if it did run out of batteries, we could at least power it on and get into the house. And now we've got two smart locks, so that sort of reduces it. But the last thing I'd want is...
Exactly the same thing. I have a 9-volt battery as well. You have the little pins that I can... push in, and then all of a sudden I can put a code in, so I can go inside, so that works, and that's also a bit of peace of mind. And the thing that I had to comment on like at least three times, but what if people hack your lock? And the thing I always say, okay, look, what do you think that a burglar will do? Will it hack my lock, or will it pick up a rock that's laying there and throw in a window? What's the thing that it will do? What will he do?
And that's what I always come back to, right? You can do everything, but then until you have most doors end up having like a window or a glass or something on it, yeah. Or you have a window next to it. Just
exactly.
There's only so much you're going to do until you go smash the.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you can even punch through most of them.
And the thing I also mention is, and what do you think a thief or a burglar would think once he sees that smart lock? Oh,
right.
Look at that. What else is in that house if they're already doing that at their front door? What else kind of security is in there? I would skip that house because you mm-hmm. don't know what's in there. And something they don't like is uncertainty. I mean, that's not yeah. the same yeah. as having a dog bark inside. They don't like that either. And
yep.
Even if it's
yeah.
one of those little ones. Noise.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Well, it's what? Again, even having your Amazon Echo or something just play a dog barking noise, right? Yeah. Like whatever.
That's one thing. If I didn't have an actual dog, I would actually do that kind of thing. Like, my camera yeah. detects a person. There you go. Start barking.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I should just, yeah, when the Ring detects motion, play a dog barking sound on the Sonos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs to be realistic though, right? Like I don't want it to be. Well, comical dog.
It's going to be me on my mic going woof 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 woof.
Yeah, but
that will scare everyone away.
Yeah, honestly, I think any from inside all sounds realistic. I don't think you need to have that high quality dog to be honest, or a dog sound. So.
Yeah, but you know how like some things like you just like I don't know when you're watching a movie and you're like that was like an edited in bark.
Oh right? Yeah, the scream, the Wilhelm scream that you always have.
Yes.
Ah, yeah, yeah. 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 I don't want that, you know, like the I heard that dog bark like 20 times. Look. I know that's not a real dog, right? Like,
yeah. I mean I'm sure you can find a good quality recording of like 30 seconds of a dog barking or yeah. something like that, right? And then
maybe someone even is using Homerson and has one like uploaded, send it to me. I'll gladly use that.
There you go. Feedback at haspodcast.io.
Yeah, there. You hear it, guys? Send all your dog sounds. The dog.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a slew of emails of just dog barks, and it's like, what is this?
I'll add them to a GitHub repo, and everyone can just select which dog they want, right?
How great would that be?
That would be awesome. Have like a little GitHub repo of, you know, going by breed, by accent. I want an Australian dog this time.
Paulus helped the world by creating Home Assistant. Phil helped the world by creating a GitHub repo of dogs barking.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm conversion control it as they age, you know? Like, there you go.
That's dog, right. There you age. Go.
Conversion control it. That's cool. All right. Well, Kurt, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really do appreciate your time today. We'll leave links to everywhere I'll try and leave links to all the hacks, yeah. repos, and YouTube videos we've talked about today. But yeah, Kurt, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure to be here. I loved it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks Cheers. So much. Cheers.
If you want to share your Home Assistant journey or come on as a guest, reach out to us at feedback@hasspodcast.io. That's hasspodcast.io.
The Home Assistant Podcast is hosted by Phil Hawthorne and myself, Rohan Karamandi. For links to topics we discussed today, check out our show notes on hasspodcast.io.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.